We'll continue with Psalm 119, so if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles, that'll be fine. Psalm 119, verses 157 through 160. David says, "Many are my persecutors and my adversaries. Yet I do not turn aside from thy testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. The sum of thy words is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting." What a great contrast we see here between David and those whom he lists as persecutors and adversaries, not necessarily of him so much as of God, whom he served. There are those who keep the word. David was among those. There are those who do not keep the word. David, many, many times throughout the Psalms, tells us how much he loves the word of God. Someone has well said, "What you love and what you hate reveal who you are." Most of us have more than one copy of God's Word. We are very much aware of the importance of reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it. And it is, of course, very clear to us as God's people, there is no substitute for the Word of God. We have quoted an unknown source, but we will do so again to illustrate our point. It has been said that there's just one book. That's the Bible. All other books, commentaries, are just books about the book. And we know that. Those who have been brought into a saving relationship with Christ place a high value, or at least they should place a high value on God's Word. Let's consider this. We should be aware that it was God's Word that God used to bring us into a saving relationship with Christ. Turn with me to James chapter 1, because James so states what I just said. James 1:18, "In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth," here's the phrase, "by the word of truth." God's truth, so that we might be, as it were, the firstborn among the creatures. How did we come to know our desperate need of Christ. It's through the Word, a portion of His Word, a time that God providentially, sovereignly worked in our situation, our personal life, to cause us to be confronted through His Word that made us know this is a desperate need of our life, of our heart, of our soul. And as God was pleased to use that word, and I might just add that working with the prisoners and other people throughout my ministry over the years, I can testify of how uniquely, how wonderfully God used His word to draw a soul into a saving relationship with Himself. But that was just the beginning. It opened up a lifetime of reading, knowing, studying God and His Word. So we have an appreciation. We could say we have a love for the Word of God. And I want to just this morning share with you some things as to why we should love God's Word. We should love it because of what I just said. God used it in a unique way in each individual life, the perfect timing, the perfect verse, the perfect situation, all combining together. But basically it had to do with God speaking to us through His Word. Now, there are some reasons why we should have a continuing and ongoing and growing love for the Word of God. And it is precisely the thing that we have just been talking about. God speaks to us through His Word. He reveals Himself. And He reveals His will. And He reveals, we could use the word, the resources that we have in our relationship with Him that is only possible through His Word. That puts the Word of God in a very unique setting. As we've said, there's just one Word of God. There are not. We have many versions of that Bible that men have made. But when we come right down to it, there's just one Word of God. Let's turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Paul, writing to the believers at Ephesus, says of them, "But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus." On other occasions, we have certainly emphasized the fact that Paul's writing to these Ephesians, but there's no reason to think that Christ was in Ephesus and preached. But Paul tells them, you've heard Him. That's an interesting thought. And that can translate into our day, into our situation, our life, our church. Because God does speak through His Word and make His will known. The Word of God, it became the Word of God to them as Paul was there and preached. And what he said became God's word to them. They heard God in his preaching. Now, I think we underestimate how uniquely powerful God's word is. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews. Chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is a good description of the Word of God. I submit to you that is a reason among many why we should have such a high regard and love for God's Word. Nothing else compares to it. Ever. And then we see that God has preserved that word for us today. And we have it in our hands, in our homes, in our tablets, accessible in so many ways. And let me just say, what makes it so relevant is simply this. What God spoke to the believers in Ephesus when Paul preached, he speaks to you and I today. It's the living, eternal Word of God. We should love God's Word. Why? Because it's the Word of God that reveals God Himself to us. He makes Himself known to us. How comforting it is when God, in a unique way, uses a verse or a portion or a chapter, and by His Holy Spirit makes it extremely relevant to whatever spiritual need I have, and brings consolation, brings peace, brings joy, brings guidance and direction in a time when I need it. All of these things from God Himself through His Word. Now, where are you going to find anything else that even comes close to comparing to that? It's just not there. Yes, we read some nice sermons and good sermons, and I thank God for sermons, and God uses sermons in many ways so much as they are closely related to God's Word. That's the issue. Is this a biblical sermon? Is it the truth? Or is it just not, I want to use the word, non-helpful in our situation? There's a difference. There's a real difference. It's God's word that makes known His attributes. It's God's word that reveals His will in given situations. when I'm seeking it. It's God's Word, as we've already said, that brings us to Christ. I want us to look at Hebrews 4:7. We probably are quite familiar with this. I just want to emphasize it because sometimes there are truths that we need to consider more deeply. Hebrews 4:7. He again fixes a certain day. Today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, think of that. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Again, what is the emphasis? The emphasis is on the fact that God does speak through his word. God, the Holy Spirit, spoke the psalm that is being quoted through David, a psalm that is quoted in Psalm 95. But God uses that same word to speak to us. What a wonderful portion of Psalm 95 is. You can read it and meditate on it, pray over it. And it comes alive. And it's as if God is saying these words to you, individual. There's a very interesting promise found in Isaiah 66:2. For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But, let's always remember how important the little word but is. But to this one, I will look. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. The reaction that comes over the soul, over one's being, when we realize this is God that's directing these specific truths to me, to my life, to my heart, to my situation. What would bring us to tremble at the Word of God except a conscious awareness that it is the true and living God who is speaking to me through his Word? Often the emphasis is put in God's Word, the little phrase, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And sometimes he includes some of his attributes, which is a way of underlining it, so to speak, emphasizing it. For example, for thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. There's his attribute being of holiness, being set there previous to what he's saying. Do you see what a treasure we have in our hands available to us? Someone has put it in these words. Let a man consider that it is God, the great and holy one, that speaks to him in his word. And it cannot but motivate him in faith attention, readiness to obedience. Who said that? I don't know. I don't have the person who made the quote. But let me state it this way. We place a great deal of importance on who said it. And when we're dealing with God's Word, it is God who said it. The highest supreme authority. And when you see that truth as it grips a man's heart, you see how a man could love the truth more than he loves his very own life. Martin Luther. That's one. The truth of salvation by faith and not of works, basically, was the issue. And when he saw that, he was willing to die for that truth. And where did he find it? How did he discover that? God spoke through his word and gripped his heart, and in the face of imminent death he could say, "Here I stand. I can do no other." What would cause 5 missionaries to be off in the jungle trying to get the truth to these natives? There's a love for God, a love for God's truth being inseparable. It's God's word. And it's the message of life and eternal life that becomes the driving force in our life and in the ministry that God may give us. What are some things that God speaks? Well, we've covered, I think, quite a few things. But there's a second important truth having to do with what does God speak. And I want to share this. God's truth is an inexhaustible treasury of spiritual mysteries and sacred truth. In fact, most of the important truths lie deep in the Scripture and require a measure of diligent search in order to discover them. Think of the truths just in the Old Testament for a moment. Just limit your thinking. Any student of the Scriptures acknowledges that we had never known or understood those hidden treasures of faith in the Old Testament if it had not been for the New Testament. They reveal, they open up, they put things in perspective. So now we have 2 sections of God's Word. And one sheds light on the other and opens up our understanding. I want to illustrate this for you. Let's turn to Luke. Maybe this came to your mind. Luke 24 and verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me," where? "In the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, must be fulfilled." Our Lord is saying, these things are there about me in the Old Testament. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. What a wonderful thing. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." And to this day, dear people, many, many, many are blinded to these very truths. Multitudes. And unless Christ is pleased to give illumination, they will not be known, even to those who have a thorough knowledge of the Old Testament. But if God is pleased to work in such a way that we understand, we see, we know how precious these truths are, should that not motivate us to have a love for His Word? The Jews, blinded to those truths. Paul wrote that their minds were blinded. Paul wrote, "For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is up on their heart." It is by the Spirit of Christ and the light of the gospel that the veil of darkness and the blindness is taken away. Paul, in the book, has made this statement, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Think of it. If Solomon and his writings, in partial, but think of all that he might have committed to writing. We're glad that we have what we have, but think of the possibility of the counsel, the wisdom. Such a writing would have been justly valued and much inquired into. However, according to the Apostle Paul, we do have the whole counsel of God in the inscripturated Word. Now, in this matter of the whole counsel of God, let us consider that the Word of God does express these things. First of all, the mystery of His love, grace, wisdom, righteousness, and holiness. Who could search out the depths of that? Who could search out the depths of God's love at any given point? His grace, His wisdom, His righteousness, His holiness. A lifetime. 3 lifetimes. 20 lifetimes. Who has the language or the vocabulary to describe them? Paul, writing to the Ephesians under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses this language. Listen to me as I read it. "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to, get this phrase, the riches of his grace. Now you can take that home and look at the little phrase, and there's enough there to keep you busy meditating for a long time. The riches. He goes on later in the book of Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness. See these superlatives? He's grasping. Yes, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but still, coming up with adequate expression to describe the preciousness of God's word. Paul writing to the Romans, he says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Wow. Humble believing souls to whom God has been pleased to give his Holy Spirit, behold the riches of God. Admire his bounty and do something else. They daily appropriate it for their spiritual good and well-being. What a difference that makes in your Christian life. To be able to lay hold of God's word in this or that or some other given situation. Then the scriptures reveal the whole counsel of God. Here's another area concerning his worship. And the obedience which he requires of our life. Where are you going to find that? Here in God's word. Remember what Paul told Timothy about such things? All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The word of God is the source where we find what God would have us to do that we may please him. Unique in its content. Should we not highly esteem it? Love it? What did David say? I love thy law. Now, we've commented on this, and rightly so. Think of how much David did not have of the Word of God. And yet, what portion he had, he highly esteemed it time and time and time again. Oh, how I love that. In describing in Psalm 1 the godly man, how did he describe him? He delights in the law of God. What about worship? Paul told Timothy about this. All scriptures inspired and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The word of God is the source where we find what God would have us to do that we may please Him. And often we comment perhaps on this area of our work, our life as believers. Just in the area of worship, it should concern us. What is it that delights God in our worship, that pleases Him? What is He pleased with? Noise? Superficiality? It abounds. Does that please Him? Showmanship? I thank God for people who are talented, whether it be in the classical field or perhaps more in the church fields. I've told Stephen on occasion that when I first went to Trinity, my first time there, the man that was the pianist, graduate of the School of Juilliard of Music, which means a lot. He had the ability probably to play anything, Chopin, Mozart, Beethoven, any of it. And yet, simple way that he played the preludes, God owned it. Because it was done properly and in order, and it was the least of showmanship. It was not there. It was worship on his part, helping us to prepare our minds and hearts before the service began. What pleases God? Where do you find that? You find it in God's Word. And, I could go on and on in that field. What else do we find? A discovery of the eternal being and the nature of God and His glorious essential excellency. The scripture alone bring us to glorify God as God, and that is the only resource we have that will do that. What else does God's word reveal? How about future eternal glories? Immortality. Paul writing to the Corinthians, "We're of good courage. I say and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home, at home with the Lord." Think of that, at home with the Lord. So many wonderful truths. How about Peter writing, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Even this brief contemplation of the truths which we have considered, surely we would agree, the Word of God is an inexhaustible treasury of spiritual mysteries and sacred truths. We should have that in our mind every time we open the Word of God. Search the Scriptures. Examine the Scriptures. In Proverbs, cry for discernment. If you seek for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, is that the way you read God's Word? In anticipation of God making himself known and his will known as you read? Without humility, without industry, prayer, diligence, proceeding from love, it is vain to think of obtaining divine wisdom. Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. Well, we have the whole counsel of God, dear people, concerning obedience to his revealed will, concerning worship, concerning our duties in whatever capacity of life we have. Husband, wife, children, Sarah, it's all there. But think of this. Also, we have the knowledge of our eternal enjoyment of him in glory. What a wonderful source of divine guidance and truth we have. Well, let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Father, we do thank you for this time of considering your word and the love that we should have. We pray that you will increase our love for your word and make yourself known to us even this day through your word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.